Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. It's not about what we're feeling. It's about what we're not feeling. What we're feeling and experiencing comes from buried emotions, from what we're not feeling. That's the science. That's your body. The problem is what we're not feeling, we're not feeling. So we don't know that we're not feeling it. And many of us are focused on what we're feeling. So if you hang out for a whole lifetime focused on what you're feeling, you miss the point. I almost did that. Just sitting and being, allowing. I mean, this is crazy. And you sit with this. I follow my teacher's suggestion. He said, just notice the awareness that's already here. When a feeling comes up, let that be. Do nothing with it. See it coming and going. That's what I did. And every feeling, and I remember those days of every single feeling, anxiety, hurt, shame, guilt, fear, upset. Notice that I'm not saying anger. The anger never arose. Upset and frustration arose, but that was not anger. And so I just allowed it all, just like my teacher said. I didn't. It was just allowed as I rested as that which saw the thoughts and the feelings. I never got to the root of suffering that way. I couldn't, because the root was buried. So if you really want to understand this issue, I could tell you my story, or I could just kind of teach a little bit. I want to teach a little bit because the three-dimensional map is helpful here. There's basically three types of people. They're in kind of different phases of their own exploration of what they are, in my view. It's just one way to divide it up. But there's the first dimension folks who, in one way or another, this is awareness-based practice. Some people are not in an awareness space. They still don't know how to question, you know, the egoic consciousness, and they are never being pointed to awareness. They don't do meditation. So I can't include them yet, like, at all. But the first dimension folks are people who maybe find meditation, mindfulness, and just or just allow to they learn how to feel everything and just let it be. That's first dimension, because you're not feeling, you're not going into feeling anything that's buried. Nothing that's buried is coming up. So you're only experiencing what's safe enough to experience. So I didn't understand that back then. I thought I was just feeling all my feelings, but I was just feeling the safer feelings, the feelings that were safer than anger. And that's why I had so many of them, so many feelings, because they were all being produced. They were identifications that were coming from what I had buried. Again, that's not something that my teacher told me, though. My teacher just said, allow it all, so to speak. It's all allowed. It's not all allowed. You can't allow what's buried. But again, I didn't know that. So second dimension, I became a second dimension person, and there's a lot of second dimension folks out there who they realize that it's not about what they're feeling. And so then they start going into the body to see, what is it that I don't want to feel? And, you know, we inquire in and things come up, and now we can feel something that we weren't feeling. We allow that. And there's some freedom in that for sure. But it's still not what we're not feeling. Because when we say what we're not feeling, that's the emotion. Those are the emotions that are repressed and really suppressed. So those are deeper than a lot of our second dimension practices can even reach. Most of them can't reach the buried emotions. For one simple reason is that no matter how clever you get or skillful, this conditioning is buried. So it's... There definitely is a skill set for it, but it's not going to you're not going to make it conscious by just doing any old somatic approach. That's a hard lesson to learn. Maybe the hardest on a path that even though we might want to be free, our buried emotions keep us safe from actually being free. They don't arise, and we get fooled into thinking that whatever it is we're digging around and experiencing is really the root, because we get some temporary relief. But we often don't pull back enough to see, well, the suffering isn't ending though. I've won some battles, but the war is still going on. It just has a different form at different times. Like I have chronic pain here, I have depression there, and now my addiction's over here. I've got work issues. My wife is on my nerves a lot. And all this stuff coming from one thing. The one thing that won't arise. That which we're not feeling. So the three groups of people are people who sit and feel and allow it all. They think they're allowing it all, but they're not getting to what they're not feeling. And so there you go. The people who are going into the body and processing, but still not getting to buried emotions, but they don't know that because the buried emotions are still buried. They couldn't know it. And so they're experiencing different degrees of safer emotion, different kinds of safer emotions than what's truly frightening. And then therefore the suffering continues. Then there's a third group, those of us doing KI, where we got to the buried emotions in awareness in the body. And it's unmistakable when you get there. You can see what they are. You can see that this is truly buried. You don't feel these. They don't just come into awareness. These are not things that you release in an emotional release. Nobody releases buried rage, really. If rage is buried, you have to work with it and thaw it out. And then over time, it gets integrated into being and your authenticity. But sudden releases are very, very distracting when it comes to trauma. Because we always love to be safe, and releases can make us feel safe and open and more expansive. But if we have repression, it contracts back. And the suffering continues, if you look. It might get better or it might seem to go away for a while, but emotional repression is like gravity. It has to continue producing things that we then have to feel. So it's not the chronic, it's not the chronic pain, even though we really feel that. So we can sit and feel chronic pain for a long time and nothing really happens. Because the real thing to feel there is the buried emotions that create the chronic pain, if they do. So it's just we're staying safe by sitting and being with pain or contraction or the sense of separation. We're staying safe from the buried emotions. And we think maybe that many people think if I just sit and feel this sensation and allow, and then even teachers will say that. They have no business saying that because there's repression hidden in those sensations. And the experience of most spiritual seekers is that the sensation of separation doesn't actually dissolve completely. That's people's experience. They'll keep asking teachers. You see it all the time. Teacher, what do I do with this contraction in my stomach? And because it's a first dimension teacher, they'll say something like, nothing. Let that be. It's just a sensation in presence. So as you rest in awareness, there's no self with that. See how that's just a sensation? But what that does is it helps that sensation just get nestled into experience, and then the repression is hidden in it so that the suffering can continue. And then people come back and they ask the teachers the same question. I see it all the time. But what were you saying? Just rest with that sensation. Then I saw a teacher say, well, you can listen to it. Just listen to it, you know, if it's a tightness in your stomach, from awareness, what do you hear? And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, this is torture. It's truly torture to listen to this. Because you're not going to hear anything when you have buried emotions, and certainly not anything connected to the buried rage, hurt, or sadness. Teacher, You're the one that should know better. So people sit there and listen and listen, and they hear stories and identities and programs, but they don't hear the buried anger or hurt or sadness. So they sit and listen for a while. They feel that. They feel whatever that brings up, but not the buried emotions. I mean, this goes deep. I've seen teachers just sit there and have people rest and feel a dense sensation and try to do nothing with it. Or don't try, but just do nothing with it without any knowledge of what's going on inside that sensation, which is a lot of activity. There's a lot of activity going on when we're resting quietly with the sensation. We just can't hear it. I mean, the whole thing is a setup, because everything we're experiencing is there because we, in terms of suffering, is there because of the buried emotions. Most everything. Not everything, but most everything. And yet, as we sit and allow all of it, we can't get to the end of it. Because it has to keep coming as long as the emotions stay buried. It's how our system, you know, gets us to survive as a separate self, is by producing the different forms of suffering. So we feel limited, lacking, deficient, separate, and then we're safe. So you really do have to work with the mind-body connections that are buried in the body, that are truly behind what you aren't feeling. The real culprit. And that's a specific skill, like I say, third dimension. We just call it emotional repression inquiry. The reason we use the dimensions is to help people who do not know yet that what they're doing doesn't get to the root, and that what they're feeling, and by allowing what they're feeling, they're regulating their system, which protects them and keeps them safe from what's buried, which again perpetuates suffering, because what's buried creates suffering. You get a moment of regulation, you get a lifetime of suffering still. And then you have to continuously regulate a system that has buried emotions. Even if you get really good at it, there's lots of good ways to get good at just kind of managing suffering, from drugs to meditation. Even being with what is managing suffering. I don't agree with a lot of the Eastern practices anymore, because the whole being with what arises is like telling people, don't pay attention to the fact that you're creating what arises, that the conditioning that's buried in your body is creating everything that you're allowing. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain and sit there and just allow it all. That's so unskillful, but it just hasn't been revealed yet, that you can't send people into a life sentence of witnessing, because it's really painful stuff. This is our suffering. We need to get to the root of it from the beginning and get to what we're not feeling. Instead of just telling people to keep feeling it all. My God, it's a life sentence. Think about that. I had chronic pain, which came because I couldn't feel the anger. Not because I wasn't feeling the pain. I was feeling the pain. You can't allow it all. I allowed all the pain, all the time, every day, at least at the surface level. But you know what was going on underneath the surface? I fucking hate this pain. I hate it. And that's the gravity. That was winning. And the pain kept being produced every day. And I had to keep allowing it, but I wasn't really allowing it, because it was about buried anger. So to tell people to allow what arises is a good start, but then it becomes a life sentence. Because look, there's a reason why you're having to allow all your suffering. Because there's conditioning in your body that creates it for safety and love. Why wouldn't you be concerned about that? I mean, I would be saying, instead of allowing it all, I want to see how I'm creating it right now. So that I'm not stuck just allowing pain for a long time. or a story or an identity that just keeps coming and I keep allowing it, or conflict with my spouse or avoidance of conflict with my spouse. Everything is visual to me. I see people as energy now. I see it all as energy. And I don't see stories. I use words and stories to communicate, but when I see people, I feel and see energy. And energy is visual too for me. It's not just kinesthetic or somatic. Many people are like this because you can feel people's density. You can feel where and how they hold it and why they show up a certain way because of the buried emotions. It's almost like, you know, the way I see spiritual teaching in the first and second dimension, for example, is it's somebody who's teaching and doesn't see the energy. And so somebody walks into the room, person has buried anger, and the teacher or the helper or the coach or the therapist or whatever starts helping that person with the suffering they're experiencing, but they can't see the buried anger. And so they just keep missing it, and they keep helping that person with all this suffering that's coming up. But if you could map it out somatically, if you could see through the whole thing, you would see the buried emotions are creating the suffering, and the helper doesn't see the buried emotions and keeps helping the person regulate the system that way by telling them to, or showing them how to manage or deal with the suffering. And therefore just keeps missing the root of suffering. If you could see this, you could see, well, this is very unskillful. Actually, this is a trauma bond. This can easily become codependency if the suffering doesn't end for that person. Because with buried emotions, people are getting love and approval. So if you mapped it out, if you could see it, you wouldn't do it. Like as a teacher, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't help people with buried emotions who are producing their own suffering be with their suffering. Because then you would, you know, I shouldn't call myself a teacher. I call myself a nervous system regulator. See that? I'm just going to help you regulate your system by avoiding the buried emotions and being with the suffering that you're creating because of the buried emotions. Keep you safe from ever having to feel that. Call it freedom. But if you could see it, if people could see it, like I do visually and energetically, when somebody walks up to you, you would see them. You can't see everything, but you can feel them more when you do your own work. And you know why they're suffering. You can see it. And you don't want to just deal with the suffering on the surface when you can see it all. And it's in everything that they say and everything that they do. And how they present themselves. But if we could see each other in relationship, like if we could really feel each other, when I'm with somebody who has buried emotions, and they show up falsely, I know that they can't help it. They can't even see it. That doesn't mean I have to sit here and go along with it, but I don't. It's all compassion because I've lived that. I know exactly what they're doing. You don't have a choice when you have buried emotions. You have to present falsely. But until I could see my own structure around that, I couldn't see them. I couldn't see their consciousness. I couldn't see why they were showing up like that. So it was more easily triggered when I couldn't see it. This is what's missing for us, is we can't see ourselves in each other. And yeah, life is awareness and presence, but there's a somatic component. It's energy, and it's driving us, the mind-body connections with this energy. If we focus on this, the repressed emotions, which we're holding all this energy back, and then identifying with what's false, then we're fully embodied, we're conscious, and we don't have to have that duality within us anymore, where we have buried emotions and we identify with things that are false because it keeps us safe from those emotions. I often wonder what I was doing as a teacher when I said, allow it all. I just didn't know. You know that saying in the Bible or whatever, they know not what they do. That's what that is. That's the trauma. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know. We just don't know what we're doing. So we allow it all because that feels better and it gives us a sense of space or openness perhaps. It might, but that's not the end of suffering. That's just like a pit stop. And then the conditioning just contracts back as soon as we're no longer sitting in a way or being in a way that we can just sit and allow it all. I kind of just got stuck in that, like, whatever it is, just allow it. Don't concern yourself with why that's happening again. Just let it be. There's almost like a dumbing down around that. Like, don't explore. Don't go into your body. Don't find out if trauma or repression is behind it. Just let it be. Remain unconscious. You'll feel safer. How could we ever really be with what is when, one, most of what is buried? It's the fear that drives everything. And two, what's buried doesn't arise and it produces what is. So we're just always being with what's safe. And that's how we're surviving, through suffering, through not being authentic. And perhaps not even knowing what that is because it's all body. You know when you're allowing it all. You know. Don't worry, you'll know. Because you won't be suffering. So if you're allowing your suffering, that's not it. And I mean that. We have to allow our suffering for as long as we're producing it. We don't have to allow suffering that we're no longer producing, though. So when you go to the buried emotions, the production of suffering stops. It doesn't all stop at once, but it stops when you make conscious the mechanism that creates it. And then there's nothing to allow. If it comes up, you start learning, well, I'm producing it again, because that's safer to believe that or to go resist or avoid here than it is to feel what I don't want to feel. But if you keep coming back to what you don't want to feel skillfully, the suffering goes away and then there's nothing to allow. I question the whole intention behind allowing, in fact, witnessing and all. Toshi and I are going to write a book. We're writing a book, actually. It's a lot of it is done about spiritual bypassing. I think we're going to call it Awake But Sick, but I'm not sure. The dangers of spiritual bypassing. We're going to pin it right to repression because that's the culprit. Then we're going to elaborate on a lot of this and help people hopefully see how these issues where you can't really allow it all, and it's not about what we're feeling, it's about what we're not feeling, and how many of the awareness and other spiritual practices keep us in avoidance of buried emotions and therefore more suffering to allow, and even how the spiritual frameworks get really clever in telling us how, like, there's like everything is just happening to no one or things like that. But the question is, but why is everything still happening? Why is there still suffering happening to no one? Something is there. There may not be a person there, but there's buried emotions and conditioning that keep producing suffering, which requires you to say that it's all happening to no one. But if it weren't arising, you wouldn't have to say that. If the suffering weren't arising, and frankly, if suffering weren't arising, nobody would be interested in non-duality. Nobody would go to a teacher and say, so I'm just sitting here suffering and the chair is just arising, or my thoughts about being here. There's no suffering. So we don't care about that. It's the suffering that's arising that makes us interested in seeing things like this. The suffering is happening to no one. It's all happening to no one. It's the suffering that makes us want to say that. When the suffering isn't there, we don't have any interest. So the question is, why is the suffering there and where is it coming from? And does the spiritual pointer or framework have anything to do with why we haven't seen it yet? Yes, because anything can distract. And our system looks for distraction. Anything to keep us safe. And we don't know we're doing it. And that's why it keeps happening. And we'll use spiritual frameworks and pointers to do it. Because at the unconscious level, there's no interest in freedom or liberation or enlightenment. Those are off the table. It's about safety, love, and approval. And that means hold emotion back and keep producing things. And then we say in awareness or awareness teachings, just allow what we're... We don't even say that. We just say allow it all. We never say, sit there and allow what your system is producing. Because if we did that, if we said it that way, then we'd have to point to how the system is producing it. We see how we don't take responsibility. Like even pointing to awareness is often a way to sort of just disown any sense of how suffering is created. Because it's right here in the body how it's created. And I've even heard, and I've done this, it's not skillful, but we'll say to people, instead of you're angry, how about anger is happening? Oh, okay, so anger is just happening, I'm just going to let that be. But here's the problem with that. When anger is happening, it means that emotion is safer to that person. So yeah, allow it, but there's usually some fear or hurt or sadness repression under it. And so they just allow the anger, they miss the buried, again, the buried emotions. I'm telling you, there's no way of escaping it. I'll just leave you with this. This is what I've seen. There's conditioning in our body where you can connect it and see how it creates your suffering. That's something that you can discover directly. You don't need science or me or anyone. You can find it once you have the skill. Once that happens and you have enough insight and transformation and consciousness around that, you can never unsee it. You can never really believe that you're not creating your suffering. Even if there's still some suffering here or there as you go in, it hangs on until it doesn't. But you're changed fundamentally once you see how suffering is created. Now, that's often something that people discover here. So what people are often doing before they get here is they're doing the awareness practices. And let me go through some of that to show you what I mean. When we're living in an unconscious state and we're doing these Eastern practices, if you can understand something, even if you don't know it to be true, just kind of accept it as true for this and just listen for a moment. You may disagree with my whole thing here, but just hear this out. So if we create our suffering from buried emotions, then when we're doing any sort of meditative or awareness practice, whatever is arising is being created by our system. We're creating it. There's the basic understanding that we get here in KI and that you see directly in your experience. If you don't see that, then as you sit as awareness, you can't see where things are coming from. You have no consciousness of it. So it's like if you think of an iceberg, at the tip is where you're seeing everything come into awareness, whatever you're seeing. But the waterline acts as a barrier, so you can't see what's creating it all. Under the waterline are the mind-body connections around fear, but really buried emotions that create it at the surface, everything you're experiencing. Now, the other thing is when something arises, we're often identified with it, which further distracts us from the buried emotions because we're identified with it. It's like, I really believe I'm not good enough. And then there's this energy with it. Why? Because see, that protects us from the buried emotions. That identification is not for no reason. That's there because it keeps us safe. And that's why we're identified with it, because it's our fear. And then right under it though, under the identity, is the buried rage, hurt, or sadness. But we don't feel it. See, because it's not about what we're feeling, it's about what we're not feeling. So with a not good enough, we might feel some things, but it's not about any of that. Because that's being produced by what we're not feeling, which is under the water, and it's the frozen fear around buried anger, hurt, sadness. Even shame. So shame, I didn't get this either because I had to do the work to see it. Shame is not an emotion that we express. I mean, I don't even know how you express it. I'm ashamed. It doesn't, okay. But if you look at what it is, it keeps us from expressing what's true for us. I had to do anger repression work to see that when shame arose, it wasn't about what I was feeling. It wasn't about that shame. That shame was protecting me and shutting me down from like being able to set boundaries, to be able to do what I want, to stop hiding certain parts of myself. That shame was mostly shame of anger. And until I could defend myself and do all that and have my power, that shame was going to be there. That shame was definitely connected to what I wasn't feeling. So again, if you're feeling anything, that's not it. Because you're feeling it for a reason. It keeps you safe from what's buried. And shame's a tough one. It's like guilt, but they're both at the same kind of place in consciousness. We stay safe by identifying with those things because it's safer to feel ashamed or guilty or like apologize than it is to truly express anger or hurt or sadness to people that we love. Those are more authentic relational emotions. Shame isolates us and disconnects us so that we don't have to experience any authenticity. Shame for me was like the trash can of my falseness. Everything I didn't want you to see. At the very bottom was my fear of humiliation and buried anger. But it was the stuff that I was feeling that was distracting me. The shame from the bottom of the trash can. There's such a depth of freedom. I have to leave you with this because this is some heavy stuff. But the reason the freedom is so deep here, and it is, I don't even give it justice because I come here and I talk about buried emotions a lot, but I really should be talking about how freeing it is. If I really wanted to sell it, I would. I do want you guys to use it, to do it. I just don't want to sugarcoat it, but there's a lot of fucking freedom. I didn't even know this was even imaginable. I even resonate with some of the New Age insights as long as they don't, or they're not repressive. Like there's abundance and flow. That's something that an anger repressing non-dual teacher could never talk about. And many of them don't, except for good old Eckhart. But like, that's real. That's actually sustainable freedom that you can experience. And I was denying it my whole life to myself, even as a teacher and even through my spiritual process, because I thought it was about feeling stuff instead of seeing that at the core, I was refusing to feel something. And that was producing all that stuff I had to feel, including like anxiety. And then science confirms it all now. It says buried anger creates anxiety. Buried anger creates chronic pain. It creates addiction. We have everything we need now to understand how deeply that goes, that it's not about what you're feeling. It's about what you're not feeling. If you're interested, I'll be real quick here. There's a link in the description. If you're serious about a one-on-one mentorship with me, click on the link and come talk to me for free about it, just to see if it's a fit for both of us. There are other mentors, though, and you can always go to killaby.com and check them out. But I'm doing a jumpstart group, and frankly, people are coming, and it's a lot of fun. I'm having the time of my life, actually, because people are coming, and they're really earnest. And I love that. And I love working with people who are like that. So the Jumpstart group is a group setting where people learn the tools. You could say in the company or even safety of a group. Some people don't think your group is safe. Safety is important. So if you learn the work, pick the way you want to do it that makes you want to stay in it, whether it's one-on-one or group. Thank you.